liaison to the Prime Minister.
Oh, yeah, for the Baileys people.
An old friend, yeah.
You know what she's here?
Huh?
You know what she's here?
Lane McGillis Rus on Chavos. When you think about Rus, tremendous Mr. Staffordshire dedication to Yiddishkeit, Shemir Samitzvahs, she was Megaya, and in a way, we all went through Geiris, we all went through conversion on Shavuos, there's Bas Mila, there's Mikvah. So we read Megillas Rus. However, when you look in Chazal, when you look in the Medrash says that's not the reason why we read Megillas Rus. It's nothing to do with the Kabbalah Satoiran or Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs that she accepted upon herself to do the Mitzvahs. The Medrash Rabbah in Perek Beis says in Rus, Amreb Zeiro, Megillah Zu, this Megillah, the Megillas Rus, there's no halachas of tumah v'tahara. There's no halachas of issa v'heta. Why was it written? To teach you. How much schar, how much reward is given to those who are goyim lechasodim? If the central theme of Rus is all about chesed's, and that's why it's written, so why do we lay it on Shavuos? Shavuos is all about Matan Torah, accepting the mitzvahs, accepting the Oil HaMitzvahs, all that Torah. Why do we read it on Shavuos? If you take a look at Megillas Rus, you actually notice that Rus had a tremendous dedication to mitzvahs, to halacha. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the Apostle, Vayemah Boyaz Lenari, Hanitzav Alakritzim, Boyaz said to one of his lads, Lemia Nara Azuz. When Rus came, so Boyaz inquired, who is this young lady? Frank de Gemar Vichidarkish of Boyaz Lishol Benara. Why is Boyaz asking, who's this young lady? So Amrav Lazar, Dov Chochma Rabba. He saw a tremendous Chochma and understanding of mitzvahs. He saw that she was only, when the mitzvah of Leket is only if you have two stalks, not three. And she, Boyaz noticed she was only taking the when the stalks fell, the two stalks that fell, not three stalks. She's going to take leket, and she knows the halachas. And he saw the way she was bending down, says the Gemara, but she said, Tana David Sneas Rabba, the way she bent down was the Sneas took away. The Brevda, by the way, points out that Rus was a descendant of Lot. Lot wasn't careful about Gezel. He didn't muzzle his animals. Not like Avram Avinu muzzled the animals. Lot couldn't care. And Lot went to Sodom. Sodom was a place which was full of zima, full of immorality. So Lot's descendant, Rus, was being misaken Lot's averus. She was very, very careful about Gezel. If the three stalks, she wouldn't take it. And she was very tzenuah. But we see upon him that Rus had a major addictive kamitzvus. So why are we just praising the chesed? If anything, from the Megillas Rus, you see how she kept the mitzvahs so well. So let's have a look at the Megillah, because really, it needs understanding, Megillas Rus, because it says, Loma Nechtova, why is it written? To show the tremendous char that you get for doing chesed. Take a look at Rus's life. She came with Nomi, she was poor, she had to go begging for food. She's such a chesed, going with Nomi. Look what she did. She came, she had to go begging for a few stalks of wheat. And finally she gets married.
And well, the prince had been a princess.
Yeah, she was a princess and now lost everything. Comes a poor lady. Then she gets married. She would think, finally she gets married. She'll be celebrating Sheva Brachos. The next morning, Boaz dies. So where's the gunle, the schar for gunle chesed? What exactly did Rus get? So let's look a little bit at Megillas Rus. The first chesed is with Rus herself, right? Rus was married to Machlon, very, very wealthy man. And after Elimelech died, his two sons died, Machlon and Kilion also died. Musu, Gam Shneim, Machlon and Kilion. Rashi says, Gam, that not only they died, all their animals died, all the livestock died. Their wealth died with them, that also disappeared. Right, so Naomi had nothing left in Moav. Right, the husband died, the two children died, all the wealth was gone. She said, here's this little bit of food left in Eretz Yisrael. She's going back to Eretz Yisrael. Poor, broken woman. And Rus says, I'm going to accompany you, which was a tremendous chesed. Right. At that time, the halacha was Amoni, Loyobi Amoni, the Moyavi Bekal Hashem. They didn't know the halacha yet of Amoni and Moyavi Veloy Moyavis. Right, so Rus had no chance of getting remarried. She's going to remain poor. Nomi was poor. There was nothing in it for her. And yet she told Nomi, I'm coming with you. I'm going to support you. Right, when she arrived, Rus said, I'm going to get food for you. Right, she went collecting the stalks like a beggar, right, and bringing it to Rus, bringing it to Nomi. That was a tremendous, tremendous chesed that took place. The second chesed that we find is with Boaz. Right, Boaz was the god of Ador. And he had an uncle called Elimelech, who was the man of Gador, very, very wealthy. And there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and Elimelech decides to leave. And out of all places, he goes to Moav, which was the exact opposite, the antithesis of what Klai Yisrael stood for. Klai Yisrael was chesed. Moav didn't do chesed. And Elimelech goes with his family, with all his wealth, he picks up, and he turns his back on Klai Yisrael. He deserts Klai Yisrael. And for Boaz, that his very own uncle, who was a manig, who was a wealthy Yid, and did that, must have been a tremendous, tremendous embarrassment to the honor of his family. So the Kavod Mishpacha, what a pagam. Then they hear the news that Machlin and Kilyon, right, married non-Jewish women. They married Benois Moav, Rus and Arpa. Wow, what a blow, a nacha patch to the cupboard of the Mishpacha. What an embarrassment. Then, when Nomi's left with nothing, she comes back. And Boaz says, please, you know, you're coming back, but I don't want to know you. Please keep far away, we're not Mishpacha anymore. Right. Nomi's daughter-in-law, the non-Jewish daughter-in-law, comes collecting in Boaz's fields. Most people would say, listen, there are other fields to go to, please, let's keep a distance. But no, not Boaz. Boaz says, ah, the Mishpacha came back, he goes out of his way to be Mekarev Rus. And he gives her extra food, he gives her roasted kernels of wheat. And more than that, Boaz says, V'yemeh Boaz Rus, per beis pasaches, haleshamata biti, al telchi lukot besada acha. Don't go to other fields, stay here. I'll look after you. And further on, the pasuk says, V'yemeh Boaz le'es oichu, kishi haloim has come. Come closer. Come closer, say Chazal, that Boaz told her that we will mamish mechadish the halacha of leyavi amoyne moivid b'kal Hashem al devar shalei kitm eskam lev mamayim. That's the derech of men to go and greet the visitors, not the derech of noshim, but stay in the tent. And therefore, we will mechadish the halacha moyavi v'loy moyavis. And therefore, gishi haloyim, come closer, like vayigash, come close. Come closer, you can enter Yiddishkeit. You can enter Klal Yisrael. Says the Medrash, Ilo Yod of Boaz, the Boaz would have known, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Machta Volav, Kodesh Baruch Hu would write, Vayitzva Lo Kali, that he roasted a few kernels a week for Rus, Agolem Petum Vaisoya Machila. He would have given a fattened calf. Similarly, the Medrash says, Baron HaKoyim, that if Aaron HaKoyim would have known, that the Torah would write, Verach of Asamach Beliboy, that he was happy that Moshe Rabbeinu became the manig, he would have gone out to meet Moshe Rabbeinu with tufim and mechilas, with trumpets and with the bands. And of course, on the surface level, the question is Boaz, is Aaron, are they doing it just for the covet? If they would have known, the Torah would have written this. They would have done much more. So Pshuka Shalevsky, the Shlita, he says it very, very nice. He says, if you go up to Boaz and say, Boaz, I'm writing an article biography on you. Can you tell us a little bit about your life and about your accomplishments? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Just a short biography so we can get started. What would Boaz say? Boaz would say, you know, I went to this in this chait and this yeshiva tano and this yeshiva gedoilo. I lived in Koilo for a number of years, right? Then I gave shurim, I had tamidim, I answered shaylas, and became a manik in Klal Yisrael, and I was mamish dedicated to Klal Yisrael 24/7. Do you think Boaz would tell you, and also you should know, that once the Sanara, Rus, Shtuk of Vaitim Mishpacha came to me and I gave her a few extra nice roasted kernels of wheat. Would you say that? Nah, it was insignificant. That's not his major achievements. That's not what you write in the art scroll biography. If you go over to Aaron HaKoyim, say, Aaron HaKoyim, we're writing a biography about you. Right? What can you tell us about yourself? Aaron will say, look in the Mishnah Brit Yavas. Ever met Hamid Shalar Nakayan, Ayyub Shalom, Yerayyub Shalom, Ayyub Esabriyos, the Makarvan, the Taira, the Imamishi did tremendous amount. It's said by the Levaya of Aaron Nakayan, who Medrash says that there were 80,000 children, yeah, with the name Aaron. Because Aaron Nakayan did Shalom Bayis, and when the parents stayed together, the next child has is covered for Aaron, they called the next child Aaron. It just shows what the Shalom Bayis, what was going on over there. 80,000 Mishpachas. Yeah, they would have gotten divorced if not for Aaron HaKohen. I don't know what they're fighting about in the Midbar. Right? But Zaytzechai is still Shalom Bayis problems. And Aaron HaKohen, he saved 80,000 families from divorce. They stayed married. The next child was called Aaron. And when he was lifted, these children, 80,000 boys with the name Aaron followed his coffin. Wow, what an achievement. And Aaron HaKohen gave over to Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara Nevin says, but Moshe Rabbeinu taught. Moshe Rabbeinu taught everything. And then Moshe went out, Aaron taught it. Then Aaron went out, his sons taught it, and then the Zakenim taught it. That's why they taught four times. The top of every page of Gemara and Shulchan Aruch uses their four lines at the top, because everything was taught four times. So Aaron was like a Magid Shir, hearing the Shir from Moshe Rabbeinu and then giving it over to Klal Yisrael. So the achievements of Aaron were amazing. Would Aaron say, yeah, and you also know that once, Shaila, who should be the manig, and I heard Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be my younger brother, and I was happy in my heart. Would he say that? Nah, look at Aaron's major achievements. Where does this come in? Says the Medrash. No. Ilu yoda Aaron. If Aaron would have known it, even this Maisa Chesed, Barocha v'samach b'libay, he would have done more. If Boaz would have known, by Yitzvah Lokali, he would have done much, much more. What was those few stalks of wheat worth? So Boaz tells Rus, Shiali, come closer, you can enter Klal Yisrael. So Rus comes back to Nomi, tells her everything that happened, and Rus tells Nomi, you should know that Boaz told me a new halacha, Mayavi v'loy mayavis, amutu lovoy b'kahal Hashem. I'm allowed to get married, I can become part of Klal Yisrael. So Nomi says, I have the perfect shidduch for you. Perfect shudda for you. If you taka considered like a yid, right, then we have a mitzvah of yibum, and the closest relative doesn't want to do yibum. Go to the next one, which is Boaz, a mashadach, a mitzia, a shidduch, you and Boaz.
But how could Boaz be machadish without Sanhedrin?
They had it together with the Rabbanim. They came to this halacha.
Just came back from Sanhedrin.
Yeah. And so. Rus and Boaz, they get married, right? She conceives that night, and she has a son called Ovid. Ovid has a son called Yishai. Yishai has a son called David HaMelech. David HaMelech has a son called Shlomo HaMelech. David HaMelech is Sefer Tehillim. Lama Nichtava, why was Megillas was written? To show us because of this chesed that Rus did, she was zeichet to David HaMelech. She was zeichet to Sefer Tehillim because of her. How would Klal Yisrael survive Golus without a Sefer Tehillim? Zeichet to Mashiach ben David. How would Klal Yisrael survive without a munah in Mashiach ben David? As they're going into the gas chambers, they're singing Ani Mamim, the munas of Mashiach. That kept us going. All b'schus of Rus. Ilu ha'yedeya Boaz. Boaz would have known. Shakodesh Baruch Hu machte v'olo v'yitzvah lo kali. Agol betumei say machila. He would have given so much more from that one little maisa of chesed. Boaz married Rus. Boaz was an old man already. He had 60 children, Chazal tell us, in his lifetime. And they all died in his lifetime. He didn't have any descendants, right? Because he wouldn't invite Noach to the Chasinus, because Noach didn't have any children. Noach was the father of Shimshon, and he didn't have any children at the time, and he didn't want to invite somebody that would come to a wedding, give him a wedding gift, and he won't be able to respond. HaKadosh Baruch Hu held it as a taina on him. So Boaz didn't have any descendants. No one to say Kaddish for, nothing. No children, no grandchildren, nothing. And now he marries Rus, Maisa Chesed, Yibum, right? And he has a child, Ovid. Right? So when that one Maisa Chesed gave Yitzchak Halotzov to Boaz, that he has children, grandchildren, Dovid HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech. Rus herself, the Pasuk says, Yishalem Hashem, Palecha, so he, Maskurtech Shlomo, Hashem should pay you back, your Maskurtech, your reward should be Shlomo. Says Chazal, says the Medrash, don't read it Yaakov Shemayni, don't read it Shlomo, but read it Shlomo. She was Zeicha, she had Arichas Yomim Rus, she was Zeicha to see Dovid HaMelech, and she was Zeicha to see Shlomo HaMelech. She saw Dovid HaMelech with Sefer Tehillim. She saw Shlomo HaMelech with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk b'Shlomo HaMelech says, "Vayosem kisei le'eim HaMelech." He had a kisei, the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. Next to it was another throne, le'eim HaMelech, for the mother of the king. Says the Gemara Baba Basra Daf Tzadik Aleph, "Zu Rus HaMeviya Sherosa b'Malchus Shlomo Ben Beno Yishu Ben Beno." What tremendous reward she got for that Meisach Chesed. That she was able to see all that. So Rus and Boaz, they all thought they're doing little Maisa Chesed. She got both of them got tremendous schar for what they did. And then you see this even nowadays when people do a Maisa Chesed, they think, Benchuk a Maisa Chesed, your Bunch Shalom rewards them. It was a Maisa of the Yidden in Bnei Brak. A person who didn't have a panos, who wasn't 100%. Socially, he was a little bit off, and he used to go collecting. He didn't, lived by himself. His house was a terrible mess. And one day he comes into Slabotka Yeshiva, Bnei Brak, and he comes dressed up like Hasidus Rebbe, gets himself a Beckett shirt with the velvet, right, with the walking stick and the silver top. And he says, "Ich bin a Rebbe." He comes in, and there's a young man there that was married for 5 years, no children, tried different things. Doctors, it wasn't looking very good. The prognosis. And he goes over to the single man and he says, "You're my chosid. You're my gabba. You're my gabba. You're my chosid." So the single man says, "Yeah, okay. Can you come clean my house for me? You're my gabba. Yeah, you come clean my house for me." So he said, "Okay." Didn't make fun of him. He said, "Okay." So he comes to his house before Rosh Hashanah. It's mamish a tip. It was a pigsty. It was mamish geferlich. So he tells the fellow, "I'm coming after Rosh Hashanah. We'll bring the crew. We'll clean up the house for you." And kachav asers mechuvah, he came. Got a few in the light, and he says, "Look, it's a chesed, the poor fellow, we have to help him. He's living on his own, and Mamish doesn't have to take care of himself at all. Let's help him." And they went, they scrubbed layer after layer. The Mamish scrubbed for a good few hours, cleaned the place, and there's so much piles of papers and rubbish. And the fellow used to hide all his money, all his cash, here and there, so they found different pockets of cash, and they gave it to him. His Mamish, the poor fellow, the person went collecting, his Mamish so happy. 9 months later, he had a boy. 9 months later, he did a Maisa Chesed. He helped somebody for one afternoon, got a few chevrah together, and he was rewarded. You know, there's a famous maggid in Yerushalayim, big time chacham called Shlomo Levenstein. He wrote a Sfarim L'Masa Ka'or, many, many volumes. This Shlomo Levenstein, tremendous time chacham, a big maggid player today. He's alive today in Eretz Yisrael. He was 22 when his mother died. The mother died suddenly when on Chof Hei Av, 1 o'clock in the morning, his mother died. And his younger brother, he had a younger brother who was very upset. Why did she have to die so young? She was only 53 years old. Why did she die so young? And before they buried her, he went over to the coffin and he spoke to his mother and he says, "Mommy, you need to tell me why he died so young. Why? The man said, at the end of the Shiva, Shitaka came to her son in a dream. Shlomo Levenstein says this over. He says, "My mother came to my brother in a dream, and he said, 'You should know that really I was supposed to die earlier. I was supposed to die earlier, but because I did so much chesed," which she did a phenomenal amount of chesed. She had 5 children of her own, but she fostered and adopted 16 children. Really good Baal's chesed. She said, "Exactly 22 years earlier, when I was giving birth to your brother Shlomi, Mamrish was a very, very difficult birth. Mamrish was touch and go with my life, and I was supposed to die already then. The Malachim said, 'We'll give you another 22 years. And Shlomo Levenstein says he was born Chof Hei Av, 1 o'clock in the morning. Mamrish, 22 years to the day. What's phenomenal is that there's a Gemara Baba Basra Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara talks about the Yid called Binyamin HaSadik, who was a Gabbai Tzedakah, and one day, a lady came to him with 7 children, "Please give me," and he said, "The kupas tzedakah is empty. There's no money. Kupas tzedakah is empty. He says, listen, we're going to die, seven kids. So he gave from his own money. A short while later, he wasn't well. And the Gemara says, the Malachim said, no, yeah, a Yid does some chesed. You have to let him stay alive. He lived for another 22 years. And the reason why this sticks in my memory was, I remember when Betsy Dunner was lifted just after Purim. Yeah, and it's also, he's quite young. Yeah, I remember hearing at the time that 22 years earlier, he's also in a terrible car crash or something terrible. Right, and he had another 22 years. Yeah, chesed. Benosn l'cha rachamim v'richamcha. When we have opportunity to do rachamim, we do that rachamim. The chesed v'richamcha helps us. That is amazing. Baba Sali was once going to give a shiur. He went from the Tivot to Bnei Brak to give a shiur. In the middle, he tells the driver, there's a Coca-Cola delivery truck. He tells the driver, his own driver, can you stop the lorry and get me a can of Coke? So he starts flashing and honking and flashing. Finally, the lorry pulls over, and the Baba Sali's driver gets out, and he goes to the lorry driver, the Coca-Cola driver, and he says, can I have a Coke? I have the Baba Sali in the car. He wants a Coke. The fellow starts screaming and cursing. What? You stop a truck in the middle of the motorway. You want a can of Coke? Go to the petrol station. Buy a can of Coke. Sure. He goes to give the shiur on the way back. They see it on the motorway. On the driving back, they see it on the other side of the motorway. A major car crash. What happened in Makara? Fatal car accident. And this Coca-Cola lorry turned over. Major car accident. And the driver died. So the driver turns around to the Baba Sali. Baba Sali's driver, and he says, Kvod Rav, look, I understand he didn't get a Coke, but you don't have to give him a klala like that. You have to curse him out. That's the Baba Sali said, didn't understand. When we were driving, I saw the Malach HaMavis hovering on top of his truck, and I was trying to get him to do a Maisa Chesed. And if he would have done that Maisa Chesed, he would have lived. Yeah, I didn't curse him out. Chas Hashem, I was trying to save him. I saw the Baba Sali, Ruach Kodesh. Yeah, he says, I was trying to save him. I saw the Malach HaMavis hovering on top of his lorry. But I did a bit of research, yeah, and I thought I saw that Coca-Cola lorry drivers allowed to give out cans of Coke as promotional to promote Coke. So it wasn't Geneva. He was allowed to do it. Okay, so coming back to Shavuos, you see, Merdek, Chesed, Boyaz, Rus, the chesed that they did, how they got rewarded for the chesed that they did. What does this have to do with Shavuos? Why do we lay Megillas Rus on Shavuos? The answer is the famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that Asad Lovay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take a Sefer Torah and he's going to put it on his lap and he's going to say, whoever did anything for Torah, come and get a reward. And straight away, all the nations of the world are going to come and they're going to say, we did everything for Torah. We did so much for Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to turn around. Omlem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shaitim Shabbailam. Shaitim, you foolish people. Yeah. In the famous place, a lady who says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't call them liars, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called them shaitim, you foolish people. Because the truth is that everything that happens in the world is a vada for Klal Yisrael. But shaitim sheba'olam, you foolish people, you did it, but you did it for your own selfish reasons. For your own, you were self-centered, you were egoistic, you were thinking only about yourself. How can I make money? It's my job. This is what I'm doing. How can I gain from it? Yeah, you always thought, what can I gain from it? What will I get from it? Right. And that is beside what a goy is. There are chassidim mesoelam, but generally speaking, a goy does everything for himself. He's self-centered. So Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yudam Beis, the Gemara brings out the pasuk tzedakah terev goy v'chesed l'umim chatas. Even when they do chesed, when the nations do chesed, they do it for their own self-centered reasons. The Gemara in Yevam Mestaf Mem Zayin says that when a ger comes to be mezgaya, yeah, they tell him, why are you interested in Yiddishkeit? You tell him, if you miss his kalis v'chamuris, umadim oisa, you tell him about leka tshikha peya maisa oni. Says Rashi, why do you tell him about leka tshikha peya maisa oni? Hoyo ve'ei makpidim ala momen. They're so careful about money and the chesed that they do, they don't do that chesed the way we do chesed. Right? It's phenomenal how much chesed Klal Yisrael do. They don't do that. They think about themselves. A Yid is fakhet. A Yid is totally about thinking about other people, thinking about the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You know, we all know the famous Chazal, that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu went to Esav. You want the Torah? Esav said, "Max silver." What does it say? It says, "You know, I'll kill." No, I don't want it. He came to Yishmael, "Max silver." No, I don't want it. He came to Klai Yisrael, "Nasav and Ishmael." Let me ask you something. If you have an employee, you're looking to employ someone, and this employee is going to have to work on Sundays from 9 to 1, sometimes public holidays he'll need to work, sometimes he'll need to travel and be away overnight. You have a certain amount of conditions that this employee needs to do, and you write up a contract. And you write up a few page contract that this is what his obligations are, this is what he's going to need to do. And you call in the employee and say, "Look, I can offer you the job. There is a contract that you need to sign." And he takes it, he doesn't even read it. And he just signs the contract like that. Would you employ him?
No.
Isn't it responsible to say, "Max Silva"? Mm-hmm. If anything, if he just signs it blindly, I don't know if I'll employ him. It shows he's not taking it seriously. So what's so terrible that the guy in mass, "Max Silva"? It's a contract. This is what you're going to have to do. Okay, you'll get rewarded, the Schar Olam Haba, but it's a contract. The Torah is a contract, isn't it? If anything, Klai Yisrael, maybe we're irresponsible by just saying Nasa V'Nishma. And the Torah says like this, it's fundamentally different. Imagine like that, give me a mashal. Imagine you have a Chosan and Kala under the Chum, right? So the Chosan comes and they sing Miyade, Chosan standing there, then the Kala comes, Bruch Abo. And the Kala comes, and now finally they go around. Sometimes Chosan and Kala standing next to each other. And the Chosan turns around to the Kala. And you hear that they're saying something to each other. And you stand there and you just listen. And the Kala says, to Chosan, "I forgot to ask you, how much do you earn? Do you know that we're going to have bills to pay? Can you manage the rent and the utilities?" Or imagine, you know, the Chosan turns around to the Kala. Mam Shantel Luchava and says, you know, Shabbat brachos will be great, but how's your cooking? We're going to need supper afterwards. And by the way, I'm a bit of a neat freak. Can you manage the house? Now if you hear that, you go, "What? Is that what they're saying under the chuppah?" Now, these are legitimate questions. There's nothing wrong with them. Right? But that's not what marriage is. Marriage is a loving relationship grounded in loyalty. It's not self-interest. It's a bond beyond the calculations of benefits. It's a bond that we're going to be there for each other through the good times, the bad times, the highs and the lows, the joys and the challenges. A marriage is not a transactional connection with each other. It's beyond that. And Chosan and Kala under the Chuppah, if that's what they're thinking, they got the whole foundation of marriage wrong. The Goyim came in to look at the Torah like a business contract, like an employer and employee. Therefore they asked, "Max Silva." Klal Yisrael realized, it's not about an employee relationship. What can I get? Okay, this is what I need to do, and then I'll get the paycheck at the end of the month. That's not what Torah is. That's not what a relationship and a connection with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is. They said, "Nasa v'nishma," it's a commitment for the future. We're not self-centered. It's not about me. It's about a connection and a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That is Nasa v'nishma. That's the fundamental difference between the Umas HaOlam and Klal Yisrael. The Umas HaOlam looked at it as, it's a contract. What's in it for me? What do I need to do? I have to read it properly. Klal Yisrael said, "We don't need to read it. It's about a relationship. It's about the connection with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's about what can I do to make you happy? Like a husband and wife under the chuppah. What can I do to make you happy for the rest of our lives?" And that's why the Mishnah in Tainis, Perek Dada, Mishnah Ches, the Mishnah says, right, Matan Torah is like a chasen, Kadosh Baruch Hu picked up the Arzinai, or like a chuppah. We went and entered into a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. For someone to do chesed, They can't be a self-centered, egoistic person. They have to be focused on other people. And that's the yisod of Kabbalah Satayr. The yisod of Kabbalah Satayr of Nasav Nishma, it's not about me. It's about the connection with the Rebbe Shalom. And that's why we read Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus, read Megillas Rus to realize that chesed means I think of others. If I think of others, I think of the Rebbeinu Shalom as well. That's why the ger that came to Hillel, teach me the whole Torah on one foot, what's the yisod, what's the foundation of everything? Think about other people. Amar Rekiva, Zekla Godo Batorah, Behafta Lereacha Kameicha. What can I do? What can I do for other people? You know, we all know that there are 613 mitzvahs, 248 positive commandments, 365 negative commandments, and that's connected to 248 limbs that we have, connected to 365 sinews that we have, and every mitzvah that we do gives a chiyus into that particular bone, or to that particular sinew that we do. We don't do mitzvahs, we don't do an avera, gives us a chiyus. Each one corresponds to a different part of the body. The question is, the tarryag mitzvahs, how many mitzvahs do you actually do? Some are only shaykh to Kahanim of the Beis HaMikdash. Some are only shaykh to poor people. Some are only to rich people. It depends on the circumstance. Right? There's a mitzvah of gerushin in the Torah. There's a mitzvah to get divorced. I'm not going to do that mitzvah. Right? There's a mitzvah machzir b'shosei. There's once a lady that she tried to do as many mitzvahs as possible. Very, very from lady. Super from. Yeah? So she wanted her husband to divorce her. So she could do a mitzvah gerushin. Then he wanted her husband to remarry her. So Mr. Machzir b'shosei. So she went to the Tzatmer Rebbe, the Divrei Yoel. Can you convince my husband to divorce me and then remarry me? So Tzatmer Rebbe said, I can definitely convince him on the first half, not during the second half. So the Maisa, how do we give a chiyus to every chiyus? Parents says achtus, vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar, ke ish echad b'leiv echad. When there's achtus, every yid is b'achtus, it's another yid with chesed and b'achtus. With another yid, we're connecting, nothing about us, but we think about other people. We're connecting to the rest of Klal Yisrael ba'achdus. Then we can say we kept tarryag mitzvahs. Otherwise, it won't work. We won't be able to say kept tarryag mitzvahs. So that's the yisoid of Kabbalah Satayr, is that achdus, connecting with other people, caring for other people. We care for other people, we can connect to Rebbeinu Shlomo as well. It's not about us, it's about Nasav Nishma, the connection, the relationship with our people from Klal Yisrael. Finish off with the Maisa. There's a Yid called Rishon Meir Shushan. When he's learning in Yeshiva Ketana called Beis Dovid in Bnei Brak, this is in Yeshiva Ketana where the Bochum would eat breakfast in Yeshiva and supper in Yeshiva, lunch, they'll go home. The local Yeshiva Ketana. So there's been a Bochum there, Masvitz, and one night he finishes night Seder and he's doing Chazar Sashir and he's writing over the Shir that he heard, and he's the last one to lead the Beis Hamidrash. Shut the lights off, and he sees the lights are still on in the dining room. Why are the lights on in the dining room? Because there's a lady who her husband ran off to America, Naguna. She was left with five kids. She had to support herself and bring up the kids. Very difficult situation. She worked in the yeshiva, so she used to come in the late afternoon, make supper, set out supper, and then after the bathroom ate supper, she would clear the tables, wash all the dishes, and sweep the floor, and prepare breakfast for the next morning. So this bochan is way out. It's 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. He sees this lady is busy just setting out the breakfast, washed all the dishes, and she's putting out breakfast for the next morning for the boss. She has a 3-year-old sleeping on the floor, a 5-year-old on 3 chairs, and he thinks, oh, Gavad, poor lady, she has to work so hard. She has to know to babysit her kids, so she brings them to the yeshiva when she's busy washing up supper and preparing breakfast. And then she has to wake up the kids and schlep them home and get them back to sleep. He couldn't sleep that night, this boss. So he decided the next morning, he tells all the chevron in yeshiva, listen, Nebuch, we saw what happened last night. You know, we have 3 shurim in yeshiva. If Shir Aleph tidies up all the plates, Shir Beis washes them, Shir Gimel washes the sweeps the floor, it'll take us 5 minutes if every bacher helps. And then she can go home like a mensch. So kachava. That night, the minute supper was over, just before night seder began, the bacher quickly. Shir Aleph cleared the tables, Shir Beis washed them all, Shir Gimel swept the floor, and literally within 5 minutes the job was done. The Mashgiach had a problem. He says, I'm employed by Rosh Hashiva that the Bochum should sit and learn. Right? Not to run Chaverim and Masaskim and Hatzolah and all those. Well, we're training them to become cooks like a cleaner. Oh, he didn't know what to do. The next night, the minute supper was over, Bochum, whole cleaning crew, 5 minutes, the whole thing was done. He went to Rav Shach. He told Rav Shach, the Bochum sits in a learning. Yeah, like, well, what's going on over here? Like, start working in the kitchen. Is that what we're training them to be? So Shach said, does it go into night seder? So he goes, no, they actually take the last 5 minutes of supper, they do it all. Shach said, what do you want? You want to make bochur mishchosim? Is that what you want? Shach stood up, he says, I want to kiss every bochur on his head. Give a aldik. The Rishiva, the Mashkiach, his name was Reb Yaakov Gutman, Zechzag Rava. He came back to the Yeshiva the next morning and he says, Rabbi Sahas Bar Shach, whoever wants a kiss from Rav Shach, go to his house and tell him you're learning the Yeshiva Kedana Beis Dovid, he'll give you a kiss. Because Torah goes with chesed. Shach said, what? You have Torah and you have no chesed, you want to make them bochum shchosim? No, Torah goes with chesed. And if you have a look at all the Gedolei Yisrael, they were all Balei Chesed. They all had the time for other people. They gave up of their busy schedules to help other people. They did everything for everyone. There's a take another quick meisah if you have a minute, if I'm allowed. Yes. Yeah, one quick meisah. Merdeka meisah, there was Ponovich Rav opened up Bate Ovis, the orphanage after the war. Right? And then he opened up Ponovich Yeshiva. And there's one time that there's mamish no food in the yeshiva for the Bochum. He told the Bochum, go light before the war, essen take, go to people's houses and ask them for a meal. So his son, Rabbi Avraham Kahneman, said to his father, said to Ponovich Rav, if there's no money, then close down the orphanage. You're supporting two maestas. Yeah. So Ponovich Rav told him, Rav Shach told me, yeah, that he knew that I have a brain that I want to do a lot. He said, Torah goes with chesed. Don't think you can do Torah without chesed. If you think you can do Torah without chesed, you won't be matzliach. So Ponovich Rav said, I'm not closing down the orphanage. I close down the orphanage, the yeshiva closes down. The two go hand in hand. A survivor came, a young boy who survived the war. He came to the orphanage. He didn't change his clothing for weeks. Mamash dirty. They brought him in. Mamash the makarev of him. There was a rebbe, a monk, who used to run the orphanage and just gave him a clean pair of pajamas and said, take a bath. I'm not taking a bath. He wouldn't. Ponovich Rav came, tried to talk to him. The child wouldn't go. So they took him to the Chazanish. Chazanish had Siyat Shmaya, had a way to talk to us. And he spoke to the boy. He said, tell me, can you have a bath? Clean pair of pajamas. Like, why don't you? So the boy said, I was in Auschwitz and I was in Bergen-Belsen. Every time they told me I should go wash myself and take off my clothing and put on pajamas, the striped clothing, I never got my clothing back. I'm not taking off my clothing. I won't get it back. Never. The poor kid, the trauma that he went through. So the Chazanish told him, I am going to wash your clothing for you. I guarantee you, I promise you, I'll give it back. Have a bath in my house, and I will give it back to you. Do you trust me? The boy said, you, I trust. I trust the Chazanish. So he had a bath. The Chazanish and the Ponovich Rav together washed his clothing when the boy was in the bath. With tears in their eyes. They were mamish, azar, chmanis, this boy. And the chesed, the Chazanish and the Ponovich Rav. Chazanish could have written another Shtukotayr. No, he himself was washing the boy's clothing. And when he came out, he said, here's a clean pair of pajamas, here's the clothing. Sleep by me or drive by tomorrow. And eventually they rehabilitated the boy. The Helege Chazanish, the Ponovich Rav, the chesed, the Torah went together with chesed. Otherwise, a person is self-centered. If you're self-centered, you don't even think about their body shalom. And that's why we learn Megillas Rus on Shavuos to show us that the Torah is the Torah's chesed, the Av's Torah with chesed, the two go hand in hand. Have a wonderful yom.